TED Audio Collective.
Kay, you commented, Ben, if you're reading this, I hope you're eaten alive by wild dogs. So fortunately, Ben has not been eaten alive by wild dogs.
Despite my best efforts.
You're growing a business, and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate, no coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until...
The Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Hey, and welcome back to Conversations with People Who Hate Me, the show where I use negative online comments as a starting point for offline conversations. I'm your host, Dylan Marin. This episode is the season 2 finale, which is closing out a huge year for the show. It won a Webby Award, so huge thanks to all of you who voted. I expanded to a brand new format where I moderate conversations between strangers rather than just speaking to people one-on-one, and I was even invited to give a TED Talk about why I make the show, and you can watch that wherever you find your TED Talks. Our audience has grown, and it's been so nice hearing from you about why you love this show and how it applies to your own life. So thank you so much for listening, and stay tuned because there will be a whole new season coming to you very, very soon. In the meantime, I invite you to tell your friends about the show. Spread the word, because word of mouth is really how this podcast gets out. So for the season finale, I wanted to cap it off with a special conversation, and this one feels pretty special. I've always said that change can't happen over the course of one phone call, that it happens over time. So today's episode is unique because we get to hear from a former guest after they've listened to their episode and considered their role in it. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. Today, I'm moderating a call between Benjamin and Kay. Now, Benjamin was a former guest who you might remember from episode 17, when he spoke with Emma Sulkowitz, a rape survivor, whom he had previously messaged four words: "You are a liar." In that episode, Benjamin acknowledged sympathy for Emma's experience, but said he couldn't fully believe Emma's account of being a rape survivor without hard forensic evidence. Kay is a listener of this show. She heard that episode and became so upset with Benjamin that she commented, "Ben, if you're reading this, I hope you're eaten alive by wild dogs." Before we begin, a word of warning. This episode deals with rape and sexual assault. If that's not something you want to be listening to right now, by all means, please don't listen to this episode and go do something great for you. I totally support that. So first, I'll speak one-on-one to Benjamin, then to Kay, and then I'll connect them to each other, but there is one call I need to make before any of that happens, since this episode will directly and indirectly refer to Emma Sulkowitz's story.
Hello.
Hi, how are ya?
I'm well. It's been so long since I last talked to you.
I know, it's been so long. So I'm calling because I am making an episode that directly involves your story, and I wanted to make sure you were okay with the fact that this would allude to your episode with Benjamin. Are you comfortable with that?
Not only am I comfortable with that, but I am so excited to see how the conversation goes.
Oh my God. Okay, great.
Great.
All right, let's get started. Here is Benjamin.
Benjamin?
Dylan?
Hey, Benjamin, how are you?
Very well. Good to talk to you.
It's good to talk to you, too. So listeners of the podcast will recognize your voice, but for those tuning in for the first time, why don't you kick it off and tell us a little about yourself? Tell us about your day.
Well, I suppose for some, maybe enemy number one, based on some of the comments, but that's fair enough. I'm 25. I trade stocks from home.
Nice.
My life is okay right now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back to school next semester or in the spring.
Do you like trading stocks?
I do.
Yeah.
But it's sort of, gets lonely. Yeah. It's isolated, obviously, sort of by nature.
So to catch people up, you were a guest on episode 17 entitled You Are a Liar, in which you had a conversation with Emma Sulkowitz, and it turned out to be about essentially how you, but how, you know, society believes and sometimes doesn't believe rape survivors. What was that experience like for you to be on the podcast?
Well, retrospectively, I wish I'd been a little bit more thoughtful. I went back and listened to it, and I feel like maybe, you know, I was kind of entrenched at the time, mm-hmm. and like more defensive mm-hmm. than I should have been. After listening to it, I kind of realized I got where what a lot of people were saying in the comments.
Oh, really?
Sort of how I came across, I think.
So you read some of the comments in reaction to the episode.
Right.
And what was that like for you reading the comments?
I'm pretty low key on all social media. So that's probably the only time I've ever had sort of explicit haters.
Yeah.
So that was that was a new experience.
A new experience. I guess what I want to check in on is, did you feel okay reading it? Did it hurt? What did it feel like?
No, I felt totally fine reading it. It was just genuinely a totally new experience being called, you know, like a psychopath and sort of some of the other things that were being implied. But in a way, I understood kind of where they were coming from, I think, in a way.
That's so interesting.
My feeling was the people who were the most vitriolic probably had some kind of experience, you know?
Hmm. Well, I mean, I think the episode elicited a lot of very strong responses. And I also think that we got to the end and you were still saying, like, you don't feel that you can fully believe a rape accusation without forensic evidence, right?
Right. I wish I'd been more open during that interview. I will say that. I think I did sort of come off defendy, and that really wasn't what I was trying to do.
Huh.
You know, I just sort of, in the moment, I just didn't think about it, you know. It's always easier looking back.
But I'm glad you even listened and considered. I think, and also, no one has the ability to radically change decades of learning in one phone call. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of the comments that you received on this episode, on Facebook, a conversation sprouted and a woman named Kay commented beneath the post about this episode, "Both yourself and Emma," she's referring to me, "showed tremendous patience. I was infuriated by Ben all day, and I had to come here to talk about it. His ignorance perfectly distills that brand of smile denial people use to dismiss survivors to their faces. He has no idea what he's talking about." And then the kicker at the end, "Ben, if you're reading this, I hope you're eaten alive by wild dogs." So I guess, first of all, how does it feel to read something like that about you?
She's had some experience that makes her say that. So I don't want to, it's not her best look, and parts of that interview weren't my best look. So I can forgive it, you know?
Did it make you feel uncomfortable?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I tend to believe people when they say stuff like that at face value. Like, maybe to her, I just seem like a huge a-hole,
yeah,
and a person who was trying to say the rape was okay and that I should die for it. I think that's exactly how she meant it. I believe it, that's exactly what she meant.
Well, the good news is we'll be able to speak to Kay to figure out, you know, what she meant. And just checking in, do you feel comfortable talking to her?
Sure. Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I guess my fear was, like, what I want is for Benjamin to continue to be questioning the things that came up on the call. And I think when I read that, I was afraid that you were going to be like, oh, fuck this. Like, I don't even
know. My experience was you and Emma were incredibly fair and fair-minded.
Yeah.
90% of the comments were fair and fair-minded, even the critiques, mm-hmm. and 10% were just, you know, saying this guy should die. He's a sociopath or psychopath.
Yeah.
And those are just like the outlying extremists. I mean, I think it's kind of like a pretty expected sort of thing, you know. I guess it was shocking to read initially, and then it was just like, oh, this is like very childish.
I am also curious to hear what Kay has to say, like what Kay's story is, in the sense that, you know, as you know, I'm curious on getting a full sense of who both people are, you know?
Sure, yeah.
But are there any specific questions you have for Kay?
As of this moment, there's only one that I really want to ask, mm. and that's the most important to me, mm. is that if she was like a dictator or God, and she really could press the button in which I got eaten alive by a dog for holding that opinion on this topic, would she actually go through and do it? It's not unfair to expect maybe an honest answer. I'm okay with the complete truth if that's what she really feels.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm holding out hope that there is a more human reason that this language was used, but I hope a good conversation will come out of this.
No, I really like this idea. I'm very curious just to kind of
hear where she's coming
hear
from.
Hear her explanation, because I would never, online, I would never say that to somebody.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't even cross my mind to even slightly imply it. So it's going to be interesting to hear from somebody that, you know, did it.
Then that's great. So I guess the next step is I'll speak one-on-one to Kay, and then the three of us will talk to each other. Sound good?
Sounds great.
Hello.
Hey, Kay.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can indeed.
Oh my God, wonderful. Hi, how are you?
I'm conscious, caffeinated, and clothed, so we're doing good.
Oh my God, you've succeeded as a human already. Congratulations.
Right?
Yeah. It's a big
how
day.
Are you?
You know, I'm good. I just, I ate a sandwich, which was lovely, so that's my truth for you.
You can't get any better than food. Like,
no.
If all else has gone to shit.
I know.
Food to the rescue.
Food will save us. Kay, let's start here. In only as many details as you would like the listening public of this podcast to know, tell me about you.
Oh, what's to know? I suppose I'm a bit Irish.
Okay, great.
A bit Canadian. A bit of a writer.
Okay.
Knock on wood.
Knock on wood. I'm knocking right now.
Right. I don't know, just your average biped living on the planet. So.
Wonderful. You're a biped walking around. So, Kay, what do you do for fun?
Oh, Jesus. Well, I'm pretty much an introvert. Mm-hmm. I do walks by the sea, kind of fashion some music, put it together, and write and do kind of book covers for novels and things, like kind of just media tinkering, I suppose.
I love.
That's, I tinker.
You tinker. That's perfect. So you're also a podcast listener.
I am indeed.
Well, that is wonderful. I'm glad you're a podcast listener, and you being a podcast listener is what brought you to this show. So when did you start listening to this show?
Oh, God. I think I stumbled upon it on one of those lists you find on the Incredible Edible Internet.
Ooh.
You know, they have all like kind of the most interesting podcasts or like mm-hmm. best audio dramas or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think I found your podcast that way and it interested me. So I thought I'll download a couple episodes and see what's going on. So that's what I did, and I was hooked.
Oh, my God. Well, now, you know, to be clear, this isn't just going to be a little patting me on the back situation, but it is.
But you did do a good job, Dylan.
Oh, thank you. That's all I'm worried. That's it. That's the end of the call. Thank you
okay,
so much.
We're done.
Yeah, exactly. But you being a listener is actually part of the path that led you here to this call today, because you listened to episode 17 entitled You Are a Liar,
mm-hmm.
and you had some strong feelings about it.
I mean, I listened to the episode at work, mm-hmm. and I was was fucking furious.
Yeah.
Furious, yeah. You know. And I was so mad. Mm-hmm. I was mad for 6 hours at work. And then I went home and I was still mad. And I was so mad that I kind of went back onto my Facebook account. Mm-hmm. Okay. No small feat. Mm-hmm. I hate Facebook.
So you had a deactivated Facebook account. You reactivated it so that you could comment on this episode.
Yeah, just to vent.
Wow.
Because,
okay.
I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, where something just gets you. Mm-hmm. Like, it just gets to you. And
it crawled under your skin.
It really did. It just brought up a lot of issues for me that I think are too easily ignored. Mm-hmm. When I heard it, I was just like, oh, gee. Like, another person just running their mouth about shit they don't understand. Mm. And then it kind of morphed as I listened and got angrier and angrier. I think it was more like, you know, he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand. And then, you know, there's that kind of ugly, petty part that's like, you know, well fuck you for not having to know that. Like, fuck you for being spared mm-hmm. knowing that. Like, fuck you twice.
Yeah.
You know, it was a very, like, visceral reaction.
But just to read the comment, and again, this is not to shame you for writing it, but it is what brought us here. You wrote a comment at first praising me and my other guest, Emma, for our patience. And then you said, Ben, if you're reading this, I hope you're eaten alive by wild dogs. So that is, you know, that is, I would say, a pretty extreme sign-off of that message. But this is, as you know well from being a listener, this is a podcast that is all about hearing why someone wrote something and using that as the beginning to understand each other's humanity.
So, yeah.
Kay, with love and respect in my heart, what crawled under your skin so much that you told Benjamin that you hope he's eaten alive by wild dogs?
Basically, it was a situation where I felt Ben was trifling with a pain, like the scope of which he didn't comprehend or respect, not just for Emma, but for, you know, anyone out there who's listening. And, you know, for myself, one of the worst things about this entire topic is that feeling of not only did someone kind of break into my body, like the body you're born with, mm-hmm. these fingers, toes, this thing you thought was yours completely intrinsically until someone mm-hmm. taught you very harshly and suddenly it was not yours. Mm. So, you know, you have that capital T trauma, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that kind of pain is like the like brutalizing someone on a physical, mental, mm-hmm. and spiritual level. Mm-hmm. And just not recognizing how dire that is and mm-hmm. how, you know, the denial of that reality, mm-hmm. you know, not only like you, it's like it happens and then you go to someone like your parents or someone you trust or like mm-hmm. the police, a teacher, a pastor, whatever. And they're like, oh, that didn't happen. I don't believe you. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's like the most fucking infuriating, mm-hmm. disempowering, mm-hmm. Like horrific thing.
Yeah.
I mean, like from my personal experience, having my reality denied was just like, you know, that was almost worse.
Mm-hmm. So I fully hear you on everything you're saying of why this crawled under your skin. There's nothing to argue with just because they're your feelings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're valid because they are your feelings. But I do want to pose a question.
Sure.
Which is that, you know, the extreme way that you have presented this argument, hoping that Ben is eaten alive by wild dogs, I worry about that. And the line I'm trying to walk right now is to make sure that I'm not policing your speech, but just gently offering my opinion on it. Because I think what I worry about with it is that while the rage is understandable, you're also directing all of this rage at one person, and it's one person who might not yet fully understand the scope of how they play into rape culture or how their need for forensics is hard. And so I kind of more lean to the side of wanting to include as many people as possible because I want Benjamin, who, from my experience with him, and I know this is the privilege of being a host and being someone who has been on the phone with him, but from my experience with Benjamin, he is a kind person, you know, and I want him to feel more and more welcome in the very, very necessary conversation about rape culture rather than feeling pushed away from it.
I just had an air stuck in my throat.
Oh, great. I love it. How exciting. So do you fear that something like this is pushing potential allies away?
I'm not 100% sure because I don't know how to translate
the rage that you feel.
Yeah, it's not like when I'm in my better moods, I'm very much like I'm kind of, you know, X, Y, Z. Okay, you can, you know, this is something that's valuable to learn. This is something you should know. I don't know. It's like in that moment, I do not care.
Yeah.
I do not care.
I am also a human, and I have also said things that adequately express my anger and inadequately express a more calm approach to it. And I understand that when you feel anger, you're not necessarily going to sit with it and think about it and process it and really dig through it. I understand because I too am subject to the same whims of human psychology. You know what I mean?
Right?
Like, I get it. I get it. I've done it. I've been there.
On my better days, when I'm like my best self or a better self, I would say, yes, it could be alienating. No, we shouldn't give random people both barrels for not knowing. And then other days, it's just so impossible and raw and fucking, like, if you've ever woken up and just, like, in the clutch of a scream or something, it's just, like, it's so hard to then coddle someone because they don't know. And, like, I basically survived a bunch of shit, most of what I don't remember as a six-year-old. And,
I just missed that. You said it as a six-year-old?
As a six-year-old. That's So,
okay. I mean, we don't have to go into that if you're not comfortable.
Yeah. I just want to be upfront.
Yeah.
It's almost like when Ben's saying the stuff that he's saying, like it's such a commonly socially prescribed response to the way we deal with this kind of thing because we're so inept at it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it came to a point where I was like almost rage crying and I'm not a crier. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, fuck you. Yeah. Fuck you and everyone who's like you. And like, and I'm aware that's just putting him into a cookie cutter mold. But you know, when you get so worked up at that point, it's so hard to be fair and to be reasonable and to be like, this guy isn't that person, this guy isn't those people. You know, he's not the villain in this per se, but it's just, it's almost like, you know, that kind of trauma and that kind of pain is so indescribable. Like, so that's where I'm coming from.
I thank you so much for sharing that. I really mean that, and I appreciate how much it takes for you to say that. And, you know, I don't want to mine it further. I understand, but it's also, I think, helpful to know that you're coming from a deeply personal place on this. And I totally see that. And I get that.
Yeah. I just want to be honest. I don't want to be melodramatic unduly mean, but
there's no melodrama by just talking about something that you have experienced as a human or how you're surviving from it. And then I think because of that, because of who you are and because of what you've experienced, and this is true for all humans, you have certain feelings, especially when you see yourself reflected in media, as you did. I think you saw your reflection through Emma or Emma's side of the story. And then you hear someone who is saying that he cannot fully believe them. I understand where you're coming from. And I'm in a kind of privileged position to even be able to say that what you said is a little intense because, you know, I'm not you. And so it's easier for me to be like, well, that was a little intense. Don't we want, you know, Benjamin?
It's okay. You don't have to worry about that. Yeah.
Okay. Then I won't worry about it.
I just want to say for the record, I'm not actually looking to murder Benjamin.
Okay.
Just so everybody knows.
Great. You're not looking to murder Benjamin. I wasn't worried about that. Thank you for clarifying.
just so we know.
And that's wonderful. Great to know. So Kay, you're about to speak to Benjamin. How do you feel?
A little jittery, but I'm ready.
Okay.
Ready me.
Jittery, but ready. I will, I'll connect you guys and then we'll all talk to each other.
Perfect.
Hi, Kay.
What up?
Stay right there. We'll be right back. If you like this podcast and you want to help support it directly, you can check out our merch store. We have brand new shirts that say empathy is not endorsement, a mantra I've made for the show, and stickers that say what I say at the end of every episode, remember there's a human on the other side of the screen. Also, there's a shirt that has Rob Wilson's beautiful logo for our show on it. Check it all out at www.conversationswithpeoplewhohateme.com and click on merch. All right, let's get back to the conversation. Benjamin, you are on the phone with Kay. Kay, you are on the phone with Benjamin, and now we're all here together.
What up?
Hi, Kay.
So let's start here. We're not going to talk about the comment just yet. I just want you guys to get to know each other. Benjamin, in only as many details as you want, why don't you tell Kay about you?
Okay. Kay, I live in Texas. I'm 25. I have a pretty free schedule. I work from home. I don't do too much, but I do enjoy, there's a river walk.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah, that's super enjoyable. There's kayaking as well. And there's a pretty good nightlife on the weekend. So thus far, I'm not a super go-getter by a lot of people's definitions, but I'm doing all right and I feel pretty good most days.
That sounds great. What do you mean by that with the go-getter stuff?
Well, I guess some of my buddies went and plowed through school, and a lot of them did school with like a master's program, and they have a very clear idea of a career, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm definitely not that guy thus far.
Kay, why don't you tell Benjamin a little about you?
Oh, I'm very boring.
why do you say that?
Oh, because I'm a writer, and I think people have these images of writers as being, you know, crucified by their own talent, drinking and being miserable. And I just like a bit of coffee, and I do some. I have a few degrees, most recent one in anthropology. I don't know. Yeah, I'm the creative sort. I live in Canada currently. Yeah, that's about
great.
That's all I can think of on the spot.
I love it. Cool. Well, let us lean into this conversation. So the two of you intersected online because of an episode of this very podcast, episode 17, You Are a Liar. I connected Emma Sulkowitz to Benjamin. And then beneath the episode, Kay, you commented, both yourself and Emma showed tremendous patience. I was infuriated by Ben all day, and I had to come here to talk about it. His ignorance perfectly distills that brand of smile denial people use to dismiss survivors to their faces. He has no idea what he's talking about. And then the kicker, Ben, if you're reading this, I hope you're eaten alive by wild dogs. So fortunately, Ben has not been eaten alive by wild dogs, and he is here on this phone call, healthy and safe, which I'm thankful for.
Despite my best efforts.
Despite your best efforts, all of the dogs were trying. Kate, the pack of wild dogs that you sent, they could not find Benjamin, so they slunk back. So this is just a show where I connect people who are strangers on the internet and may have started off on the wrong foot, to put it as generously as possible. Kay, let's actually start with you.
Sure.
Why don't you explain to Benjamin why you wrote this?
Well, initially, when I wrote this comment, I didn't know you were going to read it. Like, I thought you were kind of off in the ether somewhere. So it was really just a creative, like, oh, fuck you, man. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if people out there are thinking I'm like, I have like a drove of wild dogs coming to murder you or something, but like, right. I don't put myself on a moral height. It's just, that's too much effort and I'm lazy. Mm-hmm. So murder is just too much effort in general. Mm-hmm. But when I listened to that episode, it really got to me.
So Kay, you just said that you didn't know if Benjamin was going to read it. And
yeah,
Benjamin, you did read it, right? So what did it feel like to read something like that?
Well, I guess initially when I read it, it was sort of a bit shocking. Mm-hmm. I don't know if shocking is the right word. It's like I was saying to you, I really have I'm not on social media that much. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely the most extreme thing mm-hmm. anybody's ever said directed at me. Mm-hmm. But then I, you know, after like 15 seconds, like, oh, that's the internet. Mm-hmm. And in a way, maybe I could understand where she was coming from mm-hmm. based on how I sounded, mm-hmm. you know, in that interview. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was a little bit disconcerting mm-hmm. when I first read it.
One funny thing I just wanted to point out is neither of you are huge on Facebook. Benjamin, you just said that you aren't that big into it. And Kay, you revealed to me that actually you reactivated your profile so that you could comment on this episode, right?
Yeah, just to be mad. That's the only reason.
Great. Okay, well, here we are. Look, madness is connecting us all.
In a way, it's an honor.
Yes, it's an honor. Benjamin, look what you did. You brought more traffic to Facebook's website. Mark Zuckerberg is going to send you a personalized thank you note. And Kay, Mark Zuckerberg is also going to send you a thank you note, too. So God bless us all. But let's dig into it a little, Kay.
Sure.
What was Benjamin saying in the episode that really got to you?
I think in general, it was like, obviously, Ben, I don't know you as a person, but it really felt to me like you were trespassing into an arena that you didn't have the same stakes as Emma did. Because I understand where you're coming from, but when you take the stance of an abstract intellectual debate against someone who shows, like, in my experience, all the red flags of that experience, and something that I can deeply relate to because I went through some nasty shit as a kid as well. So the thing that I craved was I needed to be seen and understood. I just needed to see somebody and have them say to me, yeah, that was fucked up. That shouldn't have happened. That was wrong. And when someone just flat out is like, well, I don't know, I don't believe you, there's not enough evidence, it's such a disempowering thing, and it's salt on the wound.
So Benjamin, how does what Kay just said sit with you?
Well, I mean, I definitely respect it. Nothing she said, I think, is really incorrect. I mean, I wrote a comment, the you are a liar, based on information I had read on the internet, which I talked to Emma, and she said that that was all, that the information was not necessarily as it seemed. So, I mean, I don't have any experience. I think that's what I'm getting from Kay. It's like, who are you to, mm-hmm. who are you to pass the judgment? I mean, I was invited onto the show, mm-hmm. you know? So I think in that way I was there.
Yeah.
You know, I was invited by two people who knew, you know, the position I was going to take.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what can I say? Cause I mean, I don't really have any moral authority. I don't think I'm any kind of God or all knowing, or mm-hmm. I'm a lowly evolved primate like everybody else, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was just going off what I read on the internet.
We're just primates, guys.
It really was.
Yeah. I mean,
what I was going after.
I think, no, Kay, you referenced something in the comment that kind of spawned this episode. You said, his ignorance perfectly distills that brand of smile denial people use to dismiss survivors to their faces. So can you tell Benjamin what is that smile denial you're talking about?
I think it's just that use of kind of the abstract and the intellectual to kind of pick apart someone's story in a very nice way. Like, I don't think Ben, you ever were like, you weren't roaring and giving out and anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I think the problem is that so often people have these little doubts that they fling out and they say it nicely. And, you know, they may not even mean it in a malicious way, but it's something like, oh, well, where were your friends? How much did you have to drink? Mm-hmm. You know, why didn't you report it right away? And, you know, in a certain light, these are absolutely logical questions, but, you know, they don't grasp the reality that, you know, after someone's experienced like one of the most degrading and painful things you could ever do to another human being, the last thing they want to do is be subject to an invasive exam in a hospital by staff who may be sympathetic or may be totally unsympathetic. Mm-hmm. You know, or relive it, like, say, 12 hours after the event in front of police who may be totally sympathetic or maybe absolutely think, oh, you're full of shit. I've heard, you know, first responders and rape crisis staff who've been great. And I've heard, you know, staff who've kind of have that, what do you call it? It's like that sympathy burnout, like they just have nothing left. And so it's like this cold clinical experience that's another humiliation on top of that. So it's like, you know, we have the skeleton of this scenario that we can think abstractly and we think is so reasonable. But when you put yourself in someone's shoes, when you're asking these kind of things that are opening the door to denials, even if it's done with a smile, it's just divorced from the process of how you come back to yourself. At least in my experience, when that happens, it's like the ultimate lesson in powerlessness. And like your first goal isn't justice. It's not to get the baddie. Mm-hmm. It's not to do any of these things. It's to lock that shit away mm-hmm. and to regain control over yourself. Because like for so many people, you don't think your body can be taken away from you. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly it can, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's always like that's the spearhead of that, I don't know, I suppose, damage. Mm-hmm. That's a silly word. But, you know, so, I mean, that's kind of your body's in like emergency. The emergent, like, you know, your whole self is trying to do triage. Mm-hmm. On that kind of physical, psychological, emotional wound. So, you know, this idea that, you know, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? I mean, it's just like, you're not, you know, if you've been in a situation where you feel threatened or, you know, the adrenaline's going, you don't think rationally, like your frontal lobe literally gets shunted aside mm-hmm. when the adrenaline gets started. So, I mean, your entire self is just in code red. Mm-hmm. DEFCON 5, absolutely trying to recover, get away, put it behind you. It didn't happen, it didn't happen, it didn't happen. I'm still in control. Mm-hmm. That is the driving factor in my own experience. Maybe other survivors have mm-hmm. it differently, but the whole system doesn't even factor into it at that point, unless someone is exceptionally mm-hmm. Restrained or... unfortunately, that choice is taken from them again by well-meaning family or friends or whatever who call the cops, you know.
Benjamin, do you have any thoughts or response to that?
No, I mean, I respect that insight.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a person who's ever had, you know, been in that situation, mm-hmm. never had any kind of sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I definitely respect that insight.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I as much as I can put myself in the situation of a person who's been through it. I mean, I can understand why that might elicit some extreme emotion.
Yeah.
Like that. It's like somebody who was abused a lot and then saying, if somebody were to say, try to draw these ambiguous lines between what's abuse. Mm-hmm. It's like when you've been abused, you've been abused. So, I mean, mm-hmm. I can understand why she might've said it definitely now that she's unpacked it.
Mm-hmm. Kay, do you think this is something that you would say to Benjamin's face?
I don't... Okay, I'm not justifying this or excusing it. I'm just trying to be upfront. But, uh-huh. you know, as like a little Irish-Canadian hillbilly,
love
when
it.
I first I know, right? When I first listened to the episode, I don't think I would have said anything at all, Benjamin. If you were there, I probably would have just, like, punched you in the dick. Like, it was just so,
punch,
like...
Benjamin in the dick? Whoa, okay, we're going there.
Redneck style, you know.
Redneck style, okay, great.
I'm joking a little bit, but it's just, like, the reaction... It's not just you as a person, Ben, because you're just, like, you're just talking on this show and, you know, that's what's happening in this one context. It's like when that, I mean, I hate to use the word trigger because it's like, it has all this other connotations to it. But when it just kind of, it's like, an avalanche. You know, and it's like, how do you pack back that avalanche up onto the mountain? You can't. So it doesn't just become you. It's everyone who's expressed something similar to you. So you stop becoming Ben. You become like this amalgamation of everyone who's kind of hurt me in that way.
Yeah.
Like on my best days, I would love to be reasonable, patient, and explain it and link you the story so you can understand exactly, you know, what people have gone through and see what their experiences through their own eyes. Because I think we can all relate to stories done that way. But, I mean, on my worst days and, like, worst moments like this, it's just, it's so primal. It's just, there's only directing it in certain ways. Because it's, like, it's so incapacitating. That kind of rage. It's like real life hulking out is the best way I could describe it. You know, again, I didn't expect anyone to read it, honestly. I was just like...
You were just like putting it out into the ether.
I had to get that energy out or else it turns on itself.
Yeah.
You know, like depression is anger turned inward, as they say. So it was just, it had to go somewhere or I would have just...
Yeah. No, that's also helpful to understand the context of what you were feeling as you wrote this.
Yeah, and it defies any kind of normal regulation that you try in your everyday life. Like calm down.
Yeah.
Dude, like Jesus Christ. Like, you know, it doesn't work.
Benjamin, now that you understand kind of the context of the feelings behind this, you know, and also kind of wrestling with with what Kay said of like, you know, because you represented all the people that hurt her, that she would be really upset with you after the episode. How does that feel?
I mean, yeah, that was a loaded thing she said. And I'm definitely sorry that it made you feel that way. I didn't say it wanting to make anybody feel that way. And I think that might come from just ignorance around it that I have, you know, that I wasn't thinking, man, what I'm saying, there's other people who have experienced what I kind of am marginalizing with my words, maybe.
Yeah.
And that's going to give them a feeling. I guess I wasn't thinking about it like that. So I apologize for if it was a week, like you said, you know, it certainly was not my intention. I was just trying to give an opinion.
I appreciate that. And I just want to say for the record that, like, you know, I'm trying to be truthful in this podcast, but I like fully recognize that kind of pinning all that stuff to you. I mean, I don't know if I could help it with more discipline, but it dehumanizes you and it's not fair. So even though it's super intense and I don't know how I could change it if I knew beforehand, I just want to say like, it really isn't fair because it's not like you, Benjamin, as a person doing stuff. It's like, Benjamin, and then that immediately gets wiped away. I just want to acknowledge that.
No, totally.
Part of it too.
Yes, thank you. I think that is fair. And as much as I can understand and put myself in it, like I said before, I get why it would be triggering for somebody who's been through it.
Well, I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
And I definitely did. And nothing I said was meant to do that. It really was not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. It's one of the frustrating things because your one part of your brain can be like, chill the hell out. You know, that person was not sitting there twiddling their mustache, being like, I'm going to fuck K's up, you know, day up. Like, that was not what you were doing. So,
yeah.
Yeah. No evil mustaches were there.
No evil mustaches. I just am twiddling my evil mustache that I can't grow. So so just know that. I can't grow a mustache. That's my contribution. That's my insightful contribution to this conversation.
Let's all have a moment of silence for Dylan's mustache.
Let's all, yeah, Benjamin, please, a moment of silence. Okay, let's start it right now. Moment of silence for my mustache. Thank you. I think my mustache, who never
Here's
existed.
Here's to the dihydrotestosterone Thank that's going to kick in and,
yes.
and make it grow.
Benjamin, yes, will it into existence.
It's going to happen.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, you know, what I do want to say is, other than summing this up with input about my mustache that I can't grow, is that what it seems to me is happening is that it's all about who we identify with in the stories that we hear. And it started from the very beginning of the first interaction that launched this conversation that the three of us are having now. Benjamin, you wrote Emma a message because you more identified with the fear that men would be falsely accused. You know, something that's never happened to you, right? That's you've never been wrongfully accused of this, right?
No.
Yeah. So it's never happened to you, but you had the hypothetical fear of what if it did, right? And then you projected yourself into that, seeing yourself more represented with the accused rapist and you wondering if he was innocent and if his life was being turned over more than you identified with Emma, right? And then you get into a conversation with Emma on this podcast, and you are expressing, you know, something that I think sadly a lot of people express, which is like questioning of someone who comes forward with an allegation, saying that only when it's proved beyond a shadow of a doubt can it be possible. And then, Kate, you listened to that conversation, you identified more with Emma and put your anger on Benjamin.
Mm-hmm.
Still, what I want to acknowledge, and Benjamin, do correct me if this feels unfair, and Kay, correct me if this feels unfair, but I do want to acknowledge that there is something unequal there, because Benjamin, you felt upset by the national news story of Emma Sulkowitz because you were protecting a person who hypothetically might not have done something wrong in your mind. And then Kay, you were upset because it reminded you of trauma that you experienced as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I think the difference is that Benjamin, you're operating more in the hypothetical of like, I want to protect this person just in case. And Kate, you're operating more from the real. Is that unfair, Benjamin? I totally am open
well,
if it doesn't feel.
I think it's not unfair. I was operating from many different articles I'd read on the internet where the police investigated and conclusively said that he did not do it. So that's what I was operating from. I didn't have some kind of, I have no idea who this person is. I don't really feel, I don't remember feeling particularly drawn to protect this guy just on principle, on some kind of principle. I felt that way because of what I was reading.
But you were, what you were citing was, oh man, all the cars decided to go by my window right now.
Don't they know you're trying to conduct a fucking podcast?
I'm trying to connect people to each other and make the world a slightly better place, you guys.
World peace, for God's sake.
Yeah, you think I should yell that to the cars and then they'll like it? Okay, back on track. What I'm trying to say is, Benjamin, you were citing, I remember when we first spoke on the phone, you were just saying like, you know, wrongful accusations happen, right? That's something that you said.
Yeah, I mean, we know that's true. There's a big case this year with the people in Connecticut. I mean, I'm not like imagining that, but I agree that it doesn't always happen or that it even happens the majority of the time. Most of the time, I think it's true when people accuse. Like if somebody were to say I was raped, I would believe them initially. And that's what I didn't do a good job of explaining, like expressing myself in that interview. You know, I got entrenched in re-listening to it. I got very entrenched in sort of, I don't know what I was thinking. I didn't do a good job of expressing myself, especially the back half of the interview.
Yeah, no, that's okay. The simple thing that I'm trying to do is to talk about this notion of wrongful accusation, right? And just this thing that you cited in the conversation and is something that people cite often, which is the idea of, well, let's leave room for the understanding that some people can wrongfully accuse other people, right?
Right.
So I hear that, and I hear that just because that's something that a lot of people bring up. And I'm always wary to kind of bring statistics into this podcast because I'm more interested in hearing where humans are coming from. Do you know what I mean? Like Benjamin hearing where you as a human are coming from, Kay hearing where you as a human are coming from. But I did look it up, and it is like the FBI, I'm literally typing right now, false rape. The like FBI statistics that were found, it's unfounded rape accusations are around 8%. So it's like not incredibly common. And now,
and I totally believe that number.
Yeah.
100% I believe that number.
What I just saw was 8%, but I have seen lower numbers as low as 2%.
A quick note about this FBI statistic. This is only referring to rape cases that have been deemed unfounded after investigation. A necessary additional statistic is that, according to RAINN, only 310 out of every 1,000 rape cases are even reported to police at all, which suggests that the original 8% is lower when you take into account all the cases that never even made it to investigation.
I don't usually like to bring in statistics because I think statistics can almost dehumanize the conversation and can forbid us from getting to know the more nuanced sides of people. But I do think sometimes statistics do help show us just how unlikely something is. And since false rape allegations have been proven statistically to be so infrequent, I think that is an instance in which statistics help. But either way, I want to move away from statistics. To put it like very crudely, rape and rape culture is incredibly hard to talk about.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Like, I could say from my personal view, but I'd say a lot of other survivors would be there with me, is that, I mean, Benjamin, we would share your loathing of people who accuse falsely of rape because, I mean, first of all, you're putting an innocent person through the meat grinder, so fuck you. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, it reinforces that myth that, you know, that, you know, it's almost the first thing people bring up when they hear an allegation. So ultimately, if people make false allegations knowingly as some sort of, I don't know, power move or vengeance or whatever, it ultimately helps other rapists for other survivors to walk free. So it is such a strike against other people who have suffered tremendously, especially those who don't fit the bill. Like, they weren't the right gender at the time, or their attacker wasn't the right gender at the time. Their cases become even more easy to dismiss. So those people who make the false allegations I have no fucking time for them either. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of other survivors would feel the same.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with everything she said. And I think, to take a step back, I do think it is very, very rare that somebody does falsely accuse. Mm-hmm. And I think, obviously, there's the crimes against humanity, which is what I think a rape is. I mean, there's who knows how many unreported, unbelieved. It's like, I think that was my, I don't say downfall, but that was what I did not get across completely in the first interview with Emma. Mm-hmm. It was like how real I know that is. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's like, and I get listening to it like 5 or 6 times, like I have the first interview, like I get why people would, I did sometimes sound a little bit unhinged, you know, especially for a person who's been through it. So, but that was just, you know, in the moment, me not being able to communicate. And this is obviously podcasts are a new thing. So yeah, I think really Kay and I from the beginning were probably and nearly completely in agreement, I would venture to say. Mm-hmm. My basic point that I was trying to get across was I do think that there should be due process. Now, I was very clumsy with it, you know, trying to get that point across, that I do believe in due process.
I wouldn't disagree, because I mean the whole point of the court system is innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
I suppose the caveat to that is if due process fails, that could mean a rapist walks free. And it may not be this one. It could be someone else. So,
totally. And that's what I was about to say, is just that some people aren't afforded due process. And Benjamin, that goes back to this thing that I said in the initial episode, and I would say to you again, which is like, the world that you see is like a really, really good world. And I think you put a lot of faith in institutions that completely have been built for wanting you to put faith in them, but not everyone gets due process. And I don't think many people realize, not just you, Benjamin, you're definitely not alone in this. I don't think many people realize how many people are not afforded due process. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's probably true. I mean, the world, it is true to say that in my personal world, it's easy for me to maybe be naive, because I have sort of been in many ways sort of sheltered from maybe life's rough edges. I had a strong opinion from like, and I was pretty ignorant. It's like, and I remember thinking like, how did I end up being this guy that's like defending this probable rapist on the internet?
It's like a
weird ass spot to put myself in.
Yeah. I just want to say like your world, Benjamin, that you presented, it's lovely. And I don't mean that in a patronizing way. I mean, nothing would have happened to me if the world was as you said it was. So I kind of wish like the world you painted was quite a,
was the real
I would
world.
Have liked to be there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish that was the real world. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
I also think, I wonder, Benjamin, because you're a very good guy, that you automatically think others are like you. Do you know what I mean?
Thank you, Noah. I try to be fair-minded and basically kind to people. My parents, everybody in my little life have been kind to me. So it's made, I guess in that way, it's made it easier. So yeah, I mean, maybe I was projecting something onto this fellow.
But
subconsciously.
But it really feels like we're hitting into something big here, you know, because like, I think this is what happens all the time, right? Like, Benjamin, you do not represent all men. You just represent you. Kay, you do not represent all women. You are just representing you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't represent all of your respective groups. But I think when we encounter someone on a podcast episode, we kind of thrust all of what they represent onto them. Do you know what I mean? Like, Kay, you were thrusting all of the people who didn't believe you, didn't support you. You were thrusting that onto Benjamin. And Benjamin, you were thrusting what some articles in the media were wanting you to do, which was thrusting disbelief onto Emma, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And it's this theme that I think I'm like kind of working through, and a bigger theme that I think is present in almost every conversation I have for this show, which is there's so much confusion of the macro and the micro, right? Like, talking about rape culture is huge, but Kay, you saying that you want Benjamin to be eaten alive by a pack of wild dogs won't end rape culture. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, that's true. Like I told you, I'm a tough little coconut. So I totally.
Kay identifies as a tough little coconut, just so you know.
The one true gender.
the one true gender. There's one gender and it's coconut.
The tough little coconut.
Yeah. I hope the world reacts well to that fact that there's only one gender.
Surprise, everybody.
Yeah, fuck all the people that say it's two genders. It's one gender and it's just a coconut. It's a tough little coconut. I just think it's interesting.
I totally cop to that. Like, you know, the way I reacted was just a visceral, primal, instant reaction. There was no attempt at building bridges. If you had attempted to build a bridge, I would have napalmed it at that point. Like,
right.
You know, so yeah. I'm totally like, I was not conducive to any sort of conversation or serving kind of a greater good in that. In that context, I think it was the fact that I didn't feel like this person understood that person's pain that I relate to. So,
and thereby associating that and saying, and this person, Benjamin, won't understand your pain.
Exactly. So, so then I'm going to take my pain and I'm going to drag it to his front fucking doorstep and he's going to fucking see it.
Right, right.
You know, and that's, it's like, I think that was kind of a core thing of like, well, if you don't want to see it, I'm going to make you see it. Yeah, and, you know, I'm not glossing that over or saying it's a noble
pursuit
at all. That's just,
But also, and I do want to affirm and I want to acknowledge that your anger was coming from a really awful and understandable place. You know what I mean? Like, now I think on this
Definitely.
Like, on this call, Benjamin and I are afforded the ability to see where you're coming from, and it is much more understandable. But on the internet, it's just a disembodied photo.
Very true. Yeah. And I have to say, like, I am sorry, Benjamin, that I came at you so hard, because it was the fist of an angry god, and it was only like 25% was actually about you as a person. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just want to, I don't know, like, if I can provide nothing else, it's like the accuracy. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the accurate picture, I think, in hindsight. Mm-hmm. And it's, that's, I feel like that's the most helpful thing I can give from that kind of such a non-negotiable, unapproachable feeling that led to that post. Is just trying to, there it is. Sometimes it'd be like that.
Great.
Sorry, I don't want to murder anybody.
I love that, Benjamin.
Well, I definitely accept your apology 100%. And, you know, for you, for everybody else that listened to it that maybe had a similar triggering experience, I apologize. I mean, I think in the truest sense, I was pretty ignorant and I didn't, it only got worse as the thing went on. So, you know, this has made me think about it in a whole new way, you know? It's definitely made me, I know it might sound ignorant to say, but it made me think about it in ways I didn't even know to think about it, you know?
No, that
it's
doesn't just, make it's you sound ignorant at all.
It's like, it's been so, like, it's just not real to me. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I get to think about it in a different way.
Yeah.
I mean, in fairness, there is no class that it's like, well, this is what it's like to be traumatized today.
Right. Exactly.
Here's your homework. Yeah, exactly. Like, nobody... Right. Yeah, so,
I mean, it's understandable. To everybody.
Oh, no.
I do apologize to everybody for the way I came across. You know, there was a lot of people who reacted, and I think there was some justification in the reactions.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Kay, do you have any final things you want to say to Benjamin?
I appreciate the fact that you came on here, and you seem like a pretty chill dude and a tough little coconut. So,
tough little coconut.
I'm very glad, A, you were not eaten alive by wild dogs.
Yes.
Or eaten dead by wild dogs.
Yes.
And B, it's been really cathartic to actually talk to you. So, I appreciate that you took the time to come on here. That means a lot.
And
so,
I appreciate you too. I'm very grateful for the opportunity again, Dylan. And again, I want to say it for a third time. I apologize for any damage to anybody that I might have done, even if it was just a moment or a day or two or a week.
Yeah.
That was not my intention. I just kind of found myself in a situation where retrospectively I was in a little bit over my head, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
happens to us all.
I really think this is great, you guys. I think one thing I wanted to say is, Kay, on your side, while I do think that the comment you wrote is extreme, I think it is important to listen through to the rage of survivors and understand why they are upset, right? And like dig deep into what is causing that rage rather than just dismissing it as violence from someone who is part of a more oppressive group, you know, like who is someone part of a group that is not rape survivors. And, you know, Benjamin, for you, what I also want to say is like, I do believe that we have to give people the capacity to grow, especially when there was no malice in what you were thinking from the beginning. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think you realized the full scope of it. I mean, you just essentially said that, and I really do believe in allowing people who deserve it the capacity to grow. And I definitely think, Benjamin, that you fully deserve the capacity to grow and learn.
Yeah, well, thank you. And I didn't. Truly, I didn't.
Yeah.
Like, I said on the interview that my initial comment, like, the you are a liar, it was stupid. Like, mm-hmm. it was a stupid thing to say mm-hmm. on its own. But, like, yeah.
But
and just the comments, I just didn't even, yeah, it was a learning experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I really just want to say thank you both for taking the time to be part of this. I know this takes a lot of energy and this takes a lot of emotional energy. Kay for coming on the phone, Benjamin for coming on the phone, both of you for like the ability to be introspective. I just think that that is like a really, really hopeful thing for humanity. So really thank you both for doing this.
Thank you.
Thank you both. It's always good to make a new friend where at one time maybe it didn't seem possible.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good thing.
Look
as well.
At that. You guys are friends now.
Likewise.
Yeah.
Be prepared for shitposts and memes.
Okay. So get ready for memes, Benjamin. They're coming your way.
I'm ready.
He's ready. He's ready, Kay. All right. Well, I will go twirl my non-existent mustache and have a moment of silence for that. And it was really wonderful talking to you both.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you, guys. And take it easy.
Bye.
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 If you'd like to be a guest on this show and take your own online conversation and move it offline, please visit www.conversationswithpeoplewhohateme.com for more information. Conversations with People Who Hate Me is a production of Night Vale Presents. Vincent Cascione is the sound engineer and mixer. Christy Gressman is the executive producer. The theme song is These Dark Times by Caged Animals. The logo was designed by Rob Wilson. And this podcast was created, produced, and hosted by me, Dylan Marin. Special thanks to Adam Cecil, Emily Moeller, and our publicist, Megan Larson. Remember, there's a human on the other side of the screen.
Racing through these dark times, and it's hard to take it, but we're gonna make it through these dark times, make it through these dark times, make it through these dark times.